and welcome to Data Transfer episode 53, and I'm Audrey.
And I'm Corna.
And it's been a minute. I know I say it every time, but it's been a minute. I recently guested on a podcast called Blocked Party, where I plugged this very program, and I said, I have another podcast I'd like to plug. It releases sporadically. It's called Data Transfer.
And this is the next one after that.
Yeah, but you'll be happy to know, Corla, I did plug Data Transfer when I was on Blocked Party.
Yee, I appreciate it.
Big ol' audience for them.
Yeah. Yeah, goddamn. Hello to all of you.
Hello to all of you who have come over from that feed.
And to all of you, I'm sorry. I'm actually not sorry, but...
No, she has no remorse. She has no empathy. She's a creature devoid of human feeling, other than horny.
I, much like AC/DC, I have big balls.
Look like we play in tennis. He got a big dick. I think his name Dennis. We love that fucking song. I love that fucking song. Has everybody heard Three Big Balls by Digbar? Has everyone
heard that? I don't know about everybody.
Everybody should have heard it by now.
I mean, I can put some in here for you.
I played it for one of the managers at work. She's like the cool manager.
Right.
I know entirely too much about her butthole. Like, she just, like, all the time is talking about, like, yeah, so the other day I shit myself a little, and you're like, okay, cool. I was getting ready to go to lunch, and I say to her, hey, yeah, I'm going to go on lunch. And she's like, where are you going? And I'm like, Arby's. She's like, I was going to Arby's. You want to go with me? And I'm like, hell yeah. So she just drives me over to Arby's. For one thing, she buys me lunch, which was very cool of her.
Hell yeah. Either one of us, feed us and we are happy.
Yeah, we're in good shape. Feed us. And then, hey, Shannon, and if I...
I love how low effort it's getting now.
It's so low effort. And then I'm like, hey, I got a song for you. You want to hear it? She goes, sure. Three big balls. Look like we play in tennis. He got a big dick. I think his name's Dennis. And then you can't do any of the other lines in the song.
Nope.
Because they have bad words.
Well, it's from a very specifically gay black perspective.
Yes, exactly. And that's not my perspective to share, really. I just want you to go listen to the song Three Big Balls, Digbar. It's great. Not the remaster. They did like a remastered version that's like recorded a little better and has like some different lines.
Why? No.
You want the raw ass original one.
You want the fucking worst SoundCloud mix in history version.
Yes. It's very funny and very good.
With Scooby Laugh.
They did not anticipate Scooby Laugh is in Syrup by Slump AK.
Syrup, that's the one.
Really?
I am going to put a clip of that one in here. That one's
sure.
Great.
Because that one.
Energy made this one. Just shot at a black man and took his shoes. Customized my AR like a Black Ops 2.
That one's a particularly wacky one. I love that shit. I love this genre of very low effort, very funny rap music.
Yes.
It's very good.
It's very funny to me. GMC for show, obviously, yeah. Like the OG the king, progenitor. As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, as far as I know. Definitely a progenitor of this. Corla, how is it for you to be...
alive?
Sure.
Alternately amazing and painful. Sometimes both.
Amazeful.
I got some tooth shit going on, so
yeah, it's tooth time painful. Coming up for me too.
Tooth time for everybody, people in the house, people in the polycule. It's just tooth time.
It's just tooth time, and it's not our favorite time among times. Not the best.
It's also pollen time.
Yeah.
There's a lot stacked against us pretty much daily, but having said that, Hades 2.
Hades 2.
Audrey got it, and I have her shared games. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to edit out some clicks, but that's fine. Let me just
click around here.
Check. I have 45.1 hours. on record, and I don't leave this game like running on its own.
I was gonna ask,
like I do FF14. You know, my computer's a little bit old. I gotta be very careful with it so that it lasts.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I like this game.
That's a lot of hadas too.
And that might explain why I've beaten both final bosses several times.
In comparison to my 72 minutes that I have played Hades 2.
Yeah, Little Miss fucking quit. Play more!
I need to play more.
Play the gay game!
So here's how it worked for me. I had a conversation with some people who were familiar with Hades, who had played the original Hades. I told them, I don't know if Hades 2 is 60% harder than Hades, or if I'm 60% worse at video games than I was when Hades came out. And their answer was, you're back at the beginning of a Hades game.
Yeah.
So you don't have, there's a bunch of stuff you haven't unlocked. You haven't found your favorite weapon yet. You don't know the bosses. You don't know the basic enemies. You don't have a flow of things. You are supposed to get your fucking ass beat for a while. And then eventually you come around and you get stronger.
Yeah. You eventually learn that you fish for soot sprint. And win.
And then you win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
stupid good.
Like when I would...
remember the Athena dashes in the first game
right.
reflect projectiles, but only as long as the dash lasted. Soot Sprint just deletes projectiles while you sprint and hurts enemies for everyone deleted.
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. There are so projectiles stupid. That can't deflect any, like, shockwaves and stuff, for instance. But yeah, it just eats them and hurts the enemy.
That's fucking zany.
Stupid good. Yeah, that's been in. I've had that for all but one winning run. It's kind of important.
Kind of important to the run. Yeah. Because
I don't know, you know this about Hades. It's secretly a Danmaku.
You're going to have to tell me what a Danmaku is.
A shoot 'em up, Audrey. A bullet hell. A
shmup, I see. Like an Ikaruga, for example.
Or a Rabbit and Steel.
Rabbit and Steel is another game that's very good. Nicely done. I patted
my tits. Enjoy it, my segue.
You did. It was really cute. It was incredibly fucking cute. Corla and I have been playing just a little bit of this game, Rabbit and Steel. Corla's been playing a lot of it. It's like MMORPG mechanics in a roguelite frame.
Mm-hmm. And very specifically and, FF14.
Yeah.
MMO. Mechanics.
And you play little rabbits.
Little rabbits.
Little rabbit girls who kick ass.
Yeah, each one's a different class, and each one you can pick your own palette from like 6 or 7.
I'm a heavy blade main, it seems, in the one round that we've played since I bought the game.
Lilith apparently has picked wizard as her main so far.
Sure.
Me, I main dancer for the most
part. Much like rhythm.
I fucking love sniper. I love sniper.
Or much like rhythm as a dancer.
Thank you. I appreciate that joke. It threw me off my rhythm entirely.
Rhythm is a dancer.
I'm sorry. You've thrown off Corla's groove.
I'm sorry.
See, I had to resort to a movie reference instead of a punchline.
There is a marked lack of you asking me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I also have tooth time coming up. Money's tighter than... what's something that's very tight?
My butt. My butthole.
Corla's butthole. Money's tighter than Corla's butthole. But I will tell you this. I went to a wedding over the weekend and cracked 2 eggs.
That's right.
I feel about that shit.
Yeah, right into the punch. It was pretty gross, actually. That's contaminating the food.
Yep, I gave everyone salmonella.
The caterers were really mad at you.
They were so fucking angry. I got bounced.
No, actually, you did a bouncing.
I did a bouncing. Actually, that's the story I'll tell. I won't go into details on the 2 eggs that I cracked, but there were definitely two individual people who were like,
yeah, give us some hot goss. Don't fucking dish on some gals who are figuring themselves out.
Yeah, no, don't dish on some eggs. No.
Hot goss.
Okay.
Who'd you throw? So
I go into the bar for the after party. This is a wedding that had an after party. We were at the reception for like 6 hours, just like hanging out, drinking, talking, having a great time. I had an appropriate amount of alcohol to where I got a little buzzy and social, but not hammered, not falling down.
Good job.
I I did great. I don't have an impulse to get fallen down drunk anymore. Like, I don't have that in me, I don't feel.
I've never done it.
You've gotten a little saucy.
I've gotten saucy, but I've never gotten falling down drunk.
I guess that's true. But so there was an after party for this wedding, which is really funny. It's on the wedding website. It says we're all going to buy gollies after the reception. If anybody wants to keep partying, we're all going to go to buy gollies. The wedding party all bailed on it because they were like, we have been on all day.
Yep.
And are not going to continue partying. We are going to bail out.
6 hours is a lot for most people.
Well, not only was it 6 hours, it was, you know, the ceremony. It was the preparation for the ceremony, all that stuff. That was such a huge pain in the ass for them.
The ceremony itself is such a huge release of like stress and tension for a lot of different people.
Which, can I tell you a cute moment from the ceremony?
Yeah, go ahead.
So my friends Sid and Evan got married, and so the members of the bridal part of the, you know, the parties come down. So you've got like the best man and the maid of honor come down together, and you know, everybody comes down. They take their respective places at either side of the podium. And then it's time, it's bride time. Right? Which feels weird because Sid's a non-binary person, but they kept going with bride. So I'm like, okay, fine. We'll go with bride. And Evan is standing up there watching. Like, I can tell, because you're not supposed to see the dress, right? So Evan's like looking for, like, I wonder how they're gonna look. Right? They come walking out, and the look on Evan's face when they come into the field of vision, just like, I almost cried.
Aww.
Like, Evan was just like, you can tell that he's so in love with them, and it's so beautiful, such a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
But later in the day, we're at an after party at this bar. It ends up that, by golly, was closed when we showed up. Like, then they didn't make reservations or anything for this after party. So we had to figure out something else. There were a bunch of people that still wanted to come party. So we figure out this other bar in Milford. And we go there. And within minutes of being there, these two people walk in. One of them was cool. One of them was somebody that this person had met that day and had spent the entire day bar hopping and drinking with. Just like met this random dude who happened to have a whole ton of cash on hand for some reason, who was just going to different bars and drinking all day. And there's a lot of bars in downtown Milford, so you can really spread your money around, right?
Uh-huh.
Dude, apparently, the way the bartender told me it happened, he walks into the bar and immediately starts fucking with people. Like, there were people who playing What Do You Meme at a table, that little meme card game.
Yep.
And he starts picking up cards and going, what's this one? I don't know this one. What's this joke? What's this? How do you play? Right? Just belligerent drunk shit, right?
Right.
And they were like, hey, can you get the fuck away from our table? And he's like, y'all are racist. Y'all a bunch of racists. It's racists in here, up and down. This whole fucking town's racist. This is bullshit. Right? And I'm talking to him because I kind of go into bouncer mode. Mind you, I am wearing a blue, pink, white, and orange dress. And I have my hair in a, like, a headband, and my earrings are really cute, and I have a necklace on. Like, I'm full femme, right? And I'm just talking to this guy, and he's kind of wavering back and forth and just being drunk. He, like, at one point, he does the splits to show off, and he, like, hurts himself doing it. Like, it's, you know, really embarrassing shit. And finally, it's just kind of me and him talking, and we're, like, this close to each other's faces. We're, like, we're in kiss or kill zone, right? And he's like, well, I went in there and they all made all kinds of judgments about me, and they decided they didn't like me because I'm brown. And I said, I get it. I walk into a room and there's about 30% of people who will look at me and go, what the fuck is that? And so he's standing there and he looks at me and he goes, that's not right. I'm like, I know it's not right. And if that happens to you, it's not right either. And he goes, well, what am I? And I go, intoxicated. Just like that. He kind of purses his lips, squares his shoulders, and I think he's gonna swing on me for a second. Mm-hmm. He turns around and walks out of the fucking bar.
Oh.
Get bounced! Mind bouncer! One blue, I cast unsummoned, return target creature to its owner's hand. Get bounced!
You really are a fucking blue player.
I am a blue player at heart.
Blue and white specifically, you little fucking control freak.
No, I'm blue red.
Yeah, sorry, no, that phrase has mean connotations. Control creature?
I'm blue red green. I'm teamer. Like, as okay. A person, I'm blue red green.
As a person, okay. But your favorite commander is Jeskai.
Yes, Hinata, Don Crown.
Yes.
Piece of shit. Bitch.
Actually, that's something I want to throw in now that you've had your wedding stories.
Yeah,
which, by the way, very, very fun. I just wish it had been the first time I heard them.
I can tell the people.
No, you've told me, you told the group chat, and now this. So I all I mean is I wanted to interact more, and I couldn't think of anything because I'm high as shit.
Oh, sounds like a skill issue.
It's time three. It is a skill issue, much like Magic, where I've decided that I don't have the skill yet to play high pressure commanders. And so if I do play one, for instance, Hinata Dawncrowned, I need to do some stupid gimmick so that people don't immediately kill it. And the gimmick I chose was Group Hug. In fairness, Jeskai's great colors for Group Hug. You've got, what's the rabbit?
Quain.
Quain, you've got the Zedru Goodhearted, who's a goat mommy even. You've got... Fuck, I can't think of anything now. Ugh.
So tell us about how a game went. You played, yes. You played with our British friends, and how did it go?
This deck is about is like everyone gets more mana. A lot of effects that make lands tap for more mana for everybody. A lot of effects that get everyone cards, especially if you don't hit me. Just stuff like that. Actually, a lot like the Group Hug deck, the Quain deck that was thrown at us earlier today, just a little bit less of a dick, because there's no, like, Rhystic Studies or Tithe.
Mm-hmm.
How
long did the game last?
See, the thing I'm trying to get around here is the fact the game lasted like 6 or 7 hours, and I never get to play this deck again.
No. No, you do not.
No, literally no one will ever let me bring this to the table, or if they do, they will kill me swiftly, because no one has that time, and I get it. There are win conditions in the deck.
Like, sure.
You're spending the whole time Sovereign. Letting everyone... See, my thought was everyone gets to play at full power, right? That sounds fun. And it was fun, actually. We had someone doing Omnath, the mono green Omnath.
Oh, no.
Gets bigger for every green you have stocked in your unspent mana. And was also landfall, so the fact that all their lands were tapping for more made him very scary. So he was constantly getting wheeled out, turned face down, you know, fucking kicked into exile, banished, whatever they could do. Banishes the Yu-Gi-Oh thing, whatever. Whatever they could do to keep that thing off the field, because at any given point, Mio was able to get fucking, like, 40 mana per turn.
Yeah, I remember hearing something, like, I was listening in on the game, and it's like, okay, I'm at 60 mana.
yeah, no, it was stupid. The problem there being that everyone else is just spending their resources on keeping that Omnath and everything else down. And I'm just going, I'm just helping everybody out, slowly building up my life points. Hopefully I get Aetherflux Reservoir out and someone counter it. Okay, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just making this worse.
How did the game end?
How did it fucking end? I can't remember. I was so fatigued.
I will tell you, because you told me.
Thank you.
You played Felidar Sovereign. You stuck Felidar Sovereign. Oh, you were above 40 life. Felidar Sovereign reads that if you are at 40 or more life at the beginning of your upkeep, you win the game. You just win. Portland plays Felidar Sovereign. It sticks miraculously. Somebody goes for, I want to say it was a sorcery speed removal spell of some kind. Corla plays Teferi's Protection. It phases out everything that she owns, makes it so you can't change your life total, and then just has to sit there and wait until her upkeep where Felidar Sovereign will return and win her the game. And that's exactly what happened.
And even those turns took a little bit because the one remaining person besides the Omnath player is just like, can I? Do I have a win condition? I'm just going to fish long as I can. Never got one.
Took a long time to draw a bunch of cards. But yeah, it's in conclusion, Magic is a land of contrasts and is a fun game.
It's a very fun game. Don't play Group Hug, or at least don't play Hinata Group Hug. What the fuck?
It's a weird ass commander for Group Hug. What the fuck was I doing? It's so weird.
Just put Zedger in the commander zone. Stop being a fucking goof.
Stop being goofy.
Also, don't even play it then.
I played Hinata in a pod today, and somebody called me toxic for doing so. All right, we've been at it about 20 minutes. You want to talk about some digital monsters? You want to talk about this episode of Digimon? Let's do it. This episode is called Now Apocalypse,
which are we going to talk about the literary ref or the film reference, which is itself a literary reference?
It's Apocalypse Now.
It's Apocalypse Now, which is Heart of Darkness.
Yeah. Colonel, so Digi-Kurtz. Kurtzamon. Colonel Kurtzmon.
Kurtzmon Colonel mode.
Or the Japanese, the final dark Digimon. Synopsis begins like this. The synopsis is very short because the episode is very short, hilariously. They definitely made it so they were like, here is the setup to the final episode of the season. How much ad revenue can we get out of this fucking episode?
Oh my because God, we're gonna
cram so many fucking commercials into this. It's literally when it originally aired, if it aired at this 18-minute cut, that means there's 12 minutes of commercials in a 30-minute block. Insane.
Yeah, like even today the standard's a 22-minute episode, right?
Right.
At least in television animated releases.
Right.
Just
yeah, they're usually 22. This one was 18, so they cut an additional 33% commercials.
What the fuck?
Because Digimon at this point was kind of like banging, like people were kind of into this shit in the States, and so they were like, oh, all these kids are gonna be watching, we better fucking cram a bunch of commercials. But the synopsis begins like this: the Digidestined fall into darkness before stopping in midair. And they have a lot to say about that. Izzy's like, I don't know. How did he put it? He's like, not to be a drag or anything, but why did we stop falling?
That's the beginning of the deep dub going to be just excruciating this whole time.
Oh, the actual answer is, this may be a stupid question, but how come we're not still falling? Is the text of that.
I mean, fair, I guess, but shut up.
Shut up, Izzy. Nobody cares. So before stopping in midair, Genii then contacts them and tells them of an ancient evil that the Digidestined defeated and that a similar evil has returned and created the Dark Masters.
Yeah, so this is like a generational thing. Every time this shit happens.
Yeah, a generational evil.
Every time this shit happens, we get a new set of Digidestined. See, I thought it was going to be like, we actually send you back in time. It's Final Fantasy 1, bitch. It's Earthbound.
Bitch.
They put in robot bodies. Digital robot bodies.
Digital robot bodies.
Everyone get in the machine, Dramon.
The connection is broken between Genii and the kids. He says something like, I'm out of quarters. And so the connection ends. Next time I'll use a phone card, he says.
That one did get me.
And the connection is broken. And Apocalypse, as so many Digimon have done in the past, appears. And he shows up. He's like a many-sided... He's like a D20, essentially, or maybe a D12.
Yeah, a D20 shape. If each side was telescopic in, like, sections. Right.
Yeah, they
so
like
you have
open
all these,
and they like
all these hexagonal like cones of sorts.
Yeah. They all come out.
Contract and expand, and it's pretty fucking cool, actually.
It's a cool looking guy. I immediately thought lament configuration when he started like opening up.
I was like, thinking biblically accurate angel.
Yeah, a little bit of that too. So he starts to unfold himself.
Yeah, unfold me.
He reveals that he was created from the pain and suffering that is caused when Digimon attempt to digivolve but end up disappearing.
What the fuck?
What the fuck does that mean?
Is that... It's...
So apparently you can attempt to digivolve and do it so poorly that you just cease to be.
I mean, I guess maybe the crests or the digivices are what allow it to be consistent.
Sure.
And like natural digivolution, much like unaided childbirth, is actually kind of risky. Is this the metaphor we're doing? Because I legit don't know where else they're going with this.
Right. It's goofy. It's goofy as fuck. Apocalypse says, "I am the ultimate evil, complete with hot and cold running water."
Because he's got these... He unfurls one of those like telescoping segments, and there's like a upper half of a body comes out of it. Looks like if Devimon was like drawn by the JoJo guy, Araki. But he's also got these like tubes, one red, one blue, going into his fucking kidneys.
And so and, like, that
another
local,
one in his back. That's
one
black.
Of the localizers was like, "Oh, hot and cold running water. Check it
hot
out.
And cold running water." Teehee. But I was looking at the sign and going, "Oh shit, we should have asked Aki if she wanted in."
Yeah.
Hi, Aki. Would love this. I'll send you the design. It's okay.
Sora at some point says, "You're entirely made up of grief and sorrow. How sad for you." To which Apocalypse responds, "Sure, rub it in."
Sure, rub it in. Fuckface. Really good.
So fucking like it's all little Buddy Hackett one liners.
I
like,
know.
So stupid.
It will not chill. It very much reads to me as the kids are not paying attention to any dialogue. They're just looking at the cool creatures. We don't give a shit.
Right.
And it's infuriating for that reason. Yeah.
It's not only does Hey Digimon undercut the action scenes, the worst jokes you've ever heard. Undercut the tension. This is a Saban localized thing, isn't it?
Saban, that's it. Remember that? Deke.
Yeah, it was Saban.
Is later, they were like the smaller team that did Power Rangers specifically, and then Beetleborgs, I think.
That's possible. he says that he hates the Digidestin for being able to be happy. when he is forced to be miserable and attacks them using the abilities of enemies that they've defeated in the past, such as the Dark Masters, Devimon, and Myotismon.
Much like anyone else rolling a d20, he is probably an incel.
Ooh, spicy.
Spicy. Look, men aren't okay, and especially ones that are, like, on the margins in any way.
Yep, not doing great as a class of humans. Apocalypse then uses reverse Digivolve to return all the Digimon to rookie level with the exception of Gatomon. Well, I love how it says that. And then even in the show, Matt says, "They're all turned into rookies." And Gatomon's just there. And it's like, don't you fucking get it? She's a champion. She's rookie size, but she's a champion. And when the Digimon attempt to Digivolve again, Apocalypse destroys the Digidestin kids' crests. Which I was shocked by. He just like sends 1,000 fucking Devimon arms to grab the tags and crest, yanks them off the kid's neck, and then just crushes them.
Just crushes them casually the second they reach for him. Genuinely really good. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
Tension building. And then he does a little joke about it.
Just a little joke about it.
Undercuts it.
Let's see, what is this? Is this one? Okay, here's another quote from Apocalypse. Not for long. Do you think it's fair that I have to live with all this agony? Why should you get to laugh while I am forced to cry? Why do you get to taste the best that life has to offer while all I do is choke on its leftovers? Answer me this. Why do you all get pizza while I get the crust?
It's fucking... it's a real roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh yeah, as soon as, and then here's the quote from when he crashes the tags and crests. I hope you learned your lesson. Always save the receipts. The warranty was probably still good on those things.
Yep.
Who's like eating this up? Who's like, oh my God, that is so funny and appropriate to the gravity of the moment. Yeah, who is this for?
Parents.
No, because they hate the show regardless. They're like, fuck this. This is so stupid. I can't stand this shit.
They are checked the fuck out.
And the kids are just there to watch Kabuterimon do his thing, you know. They're just there for Electroshocker. And it's just, it's very, very boring. It's like boring whenever there's jokes happening. Like, it takes all of the fucking wind out of everything and it makes it shit. So the kids begin to lose confidence, and Apocalypse uses that fear against them to trap them and their Digimon in a binary prison in the world of Data. And as a non-binary trans woman, you know I'd hate a binary prison.
It's a good one, babe.
Thanks. I hate a binary
prison. I'm trying to find shit. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I was, you know, just kind of leaning on you to, like, say something to, like, follow up on my thing.
Look. People don't draw porn of Apocalypse, apparently.
Yeah, because he's fucking stupid. He's not hot.
Well, when?
Where?
All right.
Where indeed. The kids begin to lose hope, but their Digimon encourage them, reminding them of all the apparently unbeatable odds they overcame in a montage that actually kind of rips. Like, it goes back to all the moments where each individual Digimon saved the day by digivolving to a new form in a time of great need.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it, and for the most part, they, like, they're genuinely paying off each character's, like, arc, like, their growth. Yeah. And then you get to Matt and Ty.
That's like, I get it. Yeah, no, for sure, no. Gabumon. It's whatever. And it shows the montage of, oh, what is happening while which moment from Gabumon's past was it? I can't even remember.
I can't remember either. Was it the Seedramon fight or Cherrymon?
No, it wasn't one of those. I kind of feel like opening it up and finding out, but I also don't care enough. Because, like, the only thing I remember from it is Matt being like, I get it. Yep, I know, Gabumon. And then we, yep, no, for sure, man.
Yeah, the joke kind of overtook the visuals.
Yeah. And then Ty's moment was when he crosses the firewall, or not the firewall, the invisible barrier. Like
the electrified barrier with the like fake part.
Yeah. So he passes through the electrified barrier and he's like, yeah, you know, I would have done it all by myself, but I guess you helped me some, Agumon. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Time, come on. The moment come they're on, showing man. Is the one where he, like, admitted that he's scared of something in order to overcome that fear because his friend was there to back him up. Like, maybe it's a powerful moment, and the dub could have done anything with it.
Any vulnerability out of him in that moment would be a thing. They decided not to do that. They realize that they've grown up and become stronger, better people, and the symbols of their crests begin to glow over their hearts. They realize that they never needed the crests, which makes it so frustrating, and that they had the power inside them all along.
I would argue that the crests were useful as, like, pardon the use of the word, but in the, like, academic sense, a fetish object, right?
Sure.
Something upon which to focus on to, like, draw out that concept in themselves.
That does make sense. They realized that they never needed the crest, had the power inside them all along, and then their Digimon digivolved to their highest levels, which pissed me off.
a stage at a time, one by one.
Stage at a time, one by one. It was, I think, 3 minutes of airtime in an 18-minute episode. It was so fucked up.
Shit out of it.
I was kind of happy, you know, because I was just thinking about this. If they don't Digivolve in the next episode, this is the last time we get to see these Digivolutions.
Yep.
Which, so, I mean, I kind of get doing it for that reason, but like doing them all as like a montage.
Yeah, even as a last hurrah, it's a bit much.
A little much. And also, this, like, we're not getting megas out of the whole squad. It's just Werguruman and Metal Gururumon and Wargreymon. That's all we're getting. Right.
And it would be something so long... else if they were any different from each other. Aside from like the rare unique animation, but these aren't like Kamen Rider power ups, right? These aren't ridiculous and interesting individually.
No, it's just a guy with like claws.
Do anything to like cut them at the same time on screen together, like a fucking Tinder video.
I feel like they did do that at one point, though. They intercut them digivolving one time.
They did do that. They didn't do it this time.
But they didn't do it this time, which they fucking should have. But anyway, so their Digimon digivolve to the highest levels. They are then capable of reassembling themselves before Apocalypse, who reacts in shock and disbelief that they escaped the data world, and prepare for the final battle. I want you to note that this does not say that the synopsis is a stub, because it accurately reflects all of the events of the episode. Nothing happens in this bitch.
Yeah, it's so short and like, everything cool about it is kind of undone as it happens. Yeah.
So, I'm going to need you to rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega, if you would, please.
I'm going to give this one a champion for, like, a lot of potential and pretty much almost entirely just being held back by the dub and its length.
Yep. Same. I'm giving it a champion because they could not stop hitting the stupid shit button. They were just like, dump more stupid shit into it.
What was it we were saying before, Pod? Like, it's not a YouTube poop. Get your hands off the keyboard.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop making Stop making Wargreymon say Dreersh.
Yes, admittedly, that is very funny. Who say sauce?
Sauce?
Stop it. It's just not the time and place for it. I know it's funny. Stop it.
You wanna maybe do this one?
Pussy two.
Right here, we've got a little one for you. I'll send that on. And we'll have you describe this. I'll describe this one. Actually, I'll start. Oh,
damn. Okay.
Because I just realized I really want you to describe the other one. This is a white Pikmin, the poisonous type. It's also thick as hell.
It's a big fat dumper.
She's got titties, big eyes with girly eyelashes, big ass, big thighs. And there's what appears to be an adult Bulborb looking quite interestedly off in the background.
He's like,
which is quite spooky, because those things just eat Pikmin. Most things eat Pikmin, actually. It's kind of the thing in the games, is like, it's kill or be killed. It's Undertale. She's just up on a platform. This is looking like Pikmin 2, probably, but maybe 4.
I have no frame of reference for Pikmin. I just know that she's thick as hell.
We gotta play Pikmin sometime. They make funny little noises like.
I saw the Grapefruit videos about.
Yes, right. Pikmin. That's a little unrepresentative of the series.
What do you mean that the textures aren't all Mario?
We're all Mario from the Super Mario show.
They're not Captain Lou Albano.
All right, number two, I think, is going to have a lot more to say.
Okay, let's see. What do we got here?
Here we go.
Alrighty. All
right, so okay. Left one, then bottom left one, then middle.
Left one, then bottom left one, then middle is the order of the frames.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my. May 1st already? Says a very thick mouse woman with her pussy out. She has a shock of red hair, and she's looking kind of like almost satisfied in the first image. You know what I mean? She's kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
I hope my donor has what?
This year was.
Was virile. I hope my donor this year was virile.
It's a little, yeah, you need to zoom in maybe for some of
no,
that
No, I'm zoomed. I'm zoomed okay. as I can be. And then the calendar changes from May 1st to May 2nd. There's a like a pregnancy test store that she's going to.
Oh, can't seem to get through the door.
She can't even get through the door. She can't walk down the aisles. Oh no, it's an aisle in the store. And she can't walk down the aisle because she's knocking all the shit off the fucking shelves. I think I'm starting to think that I'm a little pregnant, or a lot, as her belly expands to insane proportions. She's shooting milk out of her tits all over the place. She's knocking shit off the shelves. May 3rd come round. We're looking at May 3rd now. She is completely like her upper half is completely subsumed by her tits and ass. She's like an Acura creature.
Yeah, she appears to be taking up a city block.
Yeah, she's taking up an entire city block. She is Acura.
If Acura was just pregnancy.
This line of dialogue should be, Toshiro! That was his name, right? Remember that, right? Yep.
Kaneda!
Kaneda, that's the one. Kaneda!
Acura!
And she says, oh, it's going to be a wonderful maternity as she shoots milk all over a nearby building. Is that what you wanted from me? Buildings. Is that what you wanted me to do?
Yeah. Also, it's a point out, all of the sound effects are very funny. Starting from panel one, is like, shh, like a fucking, like the fucking Amagara Fault monsters. And then in the second one, it's grow and glunk.
Glunk is a good onomatopoeia.
It's a really good onomatopoeia. Also, I love how her tits are like fucking, you know the honey eater ants that like,
yeah,
you can see what they've eaten. She's got diaphanous tits at this point. They've been stretched so thin, so you can see the milk sloshing. It's so dumb.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard of. This is really stupid. Do you want to know what else is really stupid?
What?
There's some of these quotes in this quote section. I was looking through here, and I don't want to deny anybody these dub changes. The English dub omits all the shots of Apocalypse cutting himself with his claws, as well as the scars and blood left by the cutting.
Oh, he come does, on.
He self-harms? Because he's all sad and angry?
That's fucking wild.
That's pathos. That's something.
That would allow to sell it.
The English dub has Apocalypse seeing himself as his own being, in contrast to the original, in which he is a Legion-style entity embodying all slain Digimon who may or may not be considered a Digimon himself. There's ambiguity as to what he is, as opposed to just being a Digimon that is made up of all the Digimon that failed to Digivolve.
Right, and what's with the wall of fire? Is that hell, then?
Is that hell? Who the fucking knows? The dub emits Apocalypse cursing the light as he attacks the Digidestin, as well as the spell that he chants to turn them into data. Ranani tade hachi tae mao, he chants, which is you become data in reverse. The English dub replaces. Oh my god, this is so. This makes me so sad that we fucking miss this. We have to do season two in a sub because I don't want to miss any cool shit like this. The English dub replaces the piano version of Butterfly, played when the Digidestined regain their confidence, with an unnamed orchestral piece. Mm-hmm. Like, a fucking piano refrain of the theme?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's the Didn't coolest get that. Shit anime does. I love that shit. You bring in, for the final boss theme, you reprise the main theme.
And the English dub adds dialogue as the Digidestined reminisce on their experience, quote, to give a stronger sense of reflection and emphasize each child's personality. No, you mean to ruin a actually pensive and emotional moment again.
Yep.
Fucking it's champion so ass second to last episode. So frustrating. But I guess now we got to pick our digital champion.
Do I have one this episode?
Right?
Like, so little happens. I'm going to give it to Gatomon for making me actually cry despite everything else bringing this episode down.
You know what? I'm going to give it to Wizardmon because he's in the flashback.
Yeah! And
Wizardmon deserves digital champion one last time. Wizardmon's my fucking boy. I love him.
Man.
Poor Wizardmon. He got did so dirty.
Yeah, it's so fucking dirty. He's such a cool design. I love him.
Yeah, he's great. Can you get a Wizardmon in any of the games, do you think?
Several of them, yes.
Okay. Maybe I have to play a game where I get Wizardmon.
Okay, I can point you to Mini.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
You know what else is nice?
Titties?
This other show that I do called Radio Free Tote Bag. You can find it anywhere you find your podcasts. Relationship advice, funny jokes.
More like Radio Free Tit Bag.
Yo.
Oh, owned forever, eternally.
Also, I guessed it on Block Party. It came out this week. Go check out that episode. It was very fun.
Yeah. Go check it out.
Follow me on Twitter at RFTBAudrey.
I have another show called Post Ponies. It's been releasing quite sporadically as well. It's very similar to this show, but for My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and it's got twice as many weird trans women in it. It gets fucking wild. I love bringing this back. How did Donna describe it? The most unhinged thing he's ever heard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty proud of that. Go listen to that shit.
You should be.
Have a blue sky at Corla. I post sometimes. It's generally quite cursed.
That's it.
That's it.
Folks, this episode sucked. I sincerely hope the next episode is good because we have an extra special guest that we're going to bring on. And I want to see if the episode like blows chode or not. I'm excited to see because this was not what I was anticipating. I did not remember it being this bad. The end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this week is going to be better for you than this episode was for us because you need to get out there and digivolve your ass off.
Bye, everyone. ACAB includes Sonic the Horror Cop.
Like, that'll be the last thing they hear.
I wanted to include one of my skeets, but I couldn't find one in time.